freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
I want to get the language right.
The V government is in trouble.
You're all a bunch of slaves. Bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
I truly wish that this country could be fixed at the ballot box. Too bad the ballot box has been fixed. March the 10th, 2016. My name is S.M. Gibson, and you are listening to Anti-Media Radio. A lot going on in the news. Of course, the big story is still the presidential WWE theater. We had another debate this evening of a little bit more tame. Before we get into the show tonight, I want to say a few things about the presidential election and just kind of more in a broader scale as well. I'll be the first person to admit that with all this theater that's going on with the presidential race, it's easy to get very wrapped up into the spectacle of the entire situation. And I'll be first to admit that I'll allow myself to get wrapped up into it. I mean, you know, it's how can you turn away from the absolute insanity that has become? It's terrifying, but you kind of have to laugh to keep from, you know, curling up in the corner. With that said, though, we can't allow ourselves to take our eyes off of what's going on everywhere else in the world, what's going on in our communities, what's going on with the people around us. You know, there's still a lot going on in the news, and I'm as guilty as anyone when it comes to talking about the wrestling cycle of the election. And we're probably going to talk about the election tonight, and, you know, it is what it is. But there's a lot of important things going on in the world. U.S. foreign policy is still out of control, and that's an unfortunate thing that we're seeing with these presidential debates is we're getting the same exact foreign policy shoved down our throats by all the candidates. And it's unfortunate. And one thing, too, I kind of wanted to touch on before I bring Shannon in, is, you know, we can't get so wrapped up not only in the debates, but in activism and being in tune with what's going on in the world ever how, you know, you do that. We can't let it be all-consuming. We have to remember to enjoy our lives and enjoy the people around us and love the people around us. You know, I won't get into, you know, any more of that. I'll step off the soapbox. Mr. Shannon Madden, our sound director and producer, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Sound choice for director.
Is it?
I'm doing wonderful, Mr. Gibson. How are you?
Can't complain.
Well, good, because I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, nobody cares.
You're going to complain. You always do that every hour.
Yeah, no kidding.
And what do we have to complain about tonight? The fact that the debate sucked. And I feel sorry for anybody who sat through that with popcorn and a pizza ready for Donald Trump to just daddy it up. And daddy didn't deliver tonight.
No, they got to bring Shane back.
Marco Rubio definitely gained some style points tonight by actually, like, you know, using facts in a couple cases. And then, of course, he
Marco
also
Rubio did not use facts.
Well, there was a few facts.
There was nothing.
There was a few facts.
No, there wasn't. What? You tell me one fact that Marco Rubio said. Marco Rubio said, you know what Marco Rubio's facts were? His shoes were fabulous.
They were.
They're fabulous. Yeah. That's a fact.
Yeah, that is a fact. Have you ever seen that man's shoes?
Hey, he's got stylish
footwear. Who was that old guy at the end of the stage that kept talking every once in a while? There was a guy, and he looked like he didn't comb his hair. Well, that could really apply for
two guys. I think there was a guy that just wandered out on stage. I tell you what, now I want to bring in the actual intellects of the show and the people with all the information. First off, not in the studio with us tonight, but usually is Mr. Kevin Knight. Kevin, how are you doing?
Hey, what's up, man?
Same old, same, can't complain. And joined all the way from Ohio, the wonderful writer, brilliant Miss Claire Burnish. Claire.
Howdy.
How are you?
Hey, Miss Claire. How are you doing?
Hello, everyone.
Okay, so we're going to try not to talk about the wrestling event tonight. So before we steer off into that path, because I'm sure that's where we're going to end up going anyway. We always do. Claire, I want you to talk to me. What today, of the stories you wrote, what's the biggest, most pressing story that you feel you need to talk about?
I'm not sure. I think maybe the most possibly significant is about the Paris attacks.
Man, I was actually just sitting here reading that for the second time today because that is a fascinating article for anybody who hasn't read it yet.
For those who have not read it yet, Claire, why don't you go into it? And if you haven't read it, you can right now. It's on the front page of the antimedia.org. It is Eagles of Death Metal frontman says Garge knew about parachuting in advance. It is on the front page in the top right-hand corner right now. Claire, why don't you go ahead and explain to everybody kind of the details of the story.
Okay, so the lead singer of Eagles of Death Metal,
Jesse,
which was the band that was playing at the Bataclan Theater in Paris on the night of the attacks, he did an interview with Fox News something, Fox Business News or something, and he basically said when he arrived, the guard that was watching, that he was supposed to be guarding backstage, didn't make eye contact with him and just kind of didn't even acknowledge that he was there. And so this, the lead singer, Jesse Hughes, so Hughes got, he kind of weirded out and immediately went and said, "Who is this guy that's the guard? You know, he's kind of strange. I want somebody new."
I will say this, Claire, in defense of the guards, I don't know if you've ever been to France, but yeah, that's just pretty much French people. Just, yeah, whatever, you don't exist.
That might be true, but I mean, you know, we're talking about this band has been around for a long time, and they were touring Europe already. They've played in a lot of places.
At Paris before.
Oh, yeah, they've been around forever. France, they yeah. actually, they he was friends with Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age. And
from Caius, man. What you talking about?
Yeah. The Eagles of Death Metal is a good band. Most of their songs are in open G.
Oh, they're awesome.
Yeah.
I love them.
Like the Stones.
They played the Nick. Good Anyways, time. Go ahead, Claire. I'm sorry. We're on a weird trip tonight. You have to forgive it.
I can see that. So anyway, he went and said, "Who is this guy? I want somebody else. He's kind of weirding me out," basically. And they said, "Well, some of the other guards aren't here yet." And so he found out later on that six of them wouldn't even end up showing up at all. So, like, the whole guard situation was really weird, and he had a very strange feeling about it. And in retrospect, he said that it seemed, this is what he said, "It seems rather obvious that they had a reason not to show up." He basically was kind of intimating that it seemed as if they knew something was going to happen.
And this is the same person, too, that what, just a month ago came out and said that, you know, people do need guns, kind of going against the establishment narrative of, you know, when as soon as there's a shooting, take everybody's gun away. He came out and said the exact opposite, you know.
Yeah,
I wish we didn't have to have guns, but unfortunately, this is the world we live in. And, you know, if people would have had guns in that building, not as many people.
A lot less people would be dead. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, this is a pretty big deal, and I guess there is more of the interview tonight, which probably already happened, but, you know, I wasn't watching. But, I mean, this seems like a pretty significant kind of minor but significant detail.
I think it's actually a major detail. I mean, this isn't like some story where it's like, oh, did you hear what the musician, the celebrity said? We're talking about somebody that was on the ground at a world event terrorist attack. An excuse to go into war and
lost a member of their crew, the merchandise guy who, you know, was probably, especially in this day and age with the music industry, was probably the one making the serious money for them on that tour. If you think about it,
that's it.
That's tough, man.
So, you know, I think all people that were there, especially somebody that had visibility to what was going on backstage and behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I think we should.
And the experience of being in a band and knowing when things are normal and when they're not normal.
Right.
And I mean, he obviously, the hair on the back of his neck was standing up, you know, more or less. So this was a pretty significant detail for him. This really stuck out to him. So I think I consider that pretty important.
So what do you believe that could mean?
I'm not sure. I mean, I could see this in a couple different directions. Either somehow the guards were tipped off and got weirded out and didn't want to show up. Maybe the guard that was, guarding the backstage, maybe he was somehow a lookout or involved. I mean, there are a number of ways this could be taken. And I'm sure, you know, in the next few days that might happen. But I'm really not sure exactly what to make of it, just that it's awfully fishy.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's wild. When I first read it, I was, my jaw dropped completely. I couldn't believe what I was actually reading. It just seemed so outlandish. I don't know. I just, with this day and age, nothing would surprise me, but it's not what I expected to read from somebody at, you know, it's there front and center of the band. I'd actually called a little bit of what the guy had said, you know, previously about his comments about the gun control in France. But I definitely, you know, I could not believe what the headline of your article, Claire, when I read it. So I was probably just as shocked as everybody else. I'm interested to see where this goes. I bet you, it's hard to believe we're going to hear the last of this with this article now and with the interview that the guy had. I don't see this being it, unfortunately.
Does it shock you, though, either one of you, Claire or Kevin? I mean, again, to see it, you know, and see this prominent figure that has toured the world numerous times, has been in this experience, knows when things are weird, and is telling the story that you're actually seeing it, or, you know, is it shocking that you're, like, the actual news? Unfortunately, I'm not shocked by these kind of rumors anymore.
No, I'm not. I'm not shocked. I was a little surprised, maybe.
I feel the same way. And I also should note that he did not actually want to speculate on what it was that he saw, like what that actually meant, because he said out of respect for the ongoing investigation, he wanted to make sure that he didn't, I guess, insert opinion up. But, I mean, it certainly makes you wonder what this could actually mean.
Well, especially with everything that we've seen in the past, it's not like out of the realm of possibility that they would lie about an event.
No, you're talking about all that jet fuel and steel beam crap again. Come on, man.
That happened.
You need to get with it, dude.
That happened.
Hey, they redacted those pages for a reason. There ain't nothing under there you need to worry about. Just chill out, man. Watch your cable. Gosh.
I'm going to get one of them passports.
You people don't know how good you have it.
I want to get one of those passports. I'm going to take it all the way up to Canada. And y'all can accept President Trump into your hearts.
Oh, there's got to be gone. I'm thinking more about Belize, man.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody today about where they're going to go when Trump wins.
America. Claire doesn't live far from Canada. Claire, how's the weather there right now?
Okay. I looked at the month forecast for my area, and there are literally only 3 sunny days coming up in the next 28. So,
ooh.
Yeah, south sounds a little better than north.
You need to move to Seattle. Pot's way better. really is.
Weather's terrible in Seattle.
Well, I mean, but it ain't snowing all the freaking time. I've lived in Ohio. It sucks, man.
Look.
It really does.
No offense to all you Ohio listeners out there, but Claire, you live there. What does it do again? It sucks.
It does. It sucks. Yeah. It really sucks. But, like, I wish that we could take the cool cities and move them elsewhere because this weather is terrible.
San Diego, Ohio, Birmingham, Alabama, Miami, Florida. They're all going to be under President Trump.
That's true.
So who cares? About
there's an island in Scotland for sale.
Yeah, I can afford an island. I can.
It's not that expensive. It's actually about the cost of
afford a house right now. What are you talking about? Damn, what kind of fairy tale world are you living in, woman?
This sounds like some sort of Bernie Sanders dreamland.
Wow, free houses for everybody.
Yeah.
Oh man, I get an education to figure out how to pay that mortgage. Oh, wait a minute. It's free. There is no money. I ain't got no money, man. I'm broke.
So has everybody heard that Apple's now going on about the FBI can turn on your cameras and your microphones and yada, yada, yada?
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Apple's actually making the claim now?
Yeah, but here's the deal. Like, this is what I don't get with any of it. Like, why are we having this conversation to begin with? A, you can get into the phone. Stop insulting my intelligence. B, you can
some
already...
Kids get, taught them how to do it.
Yeah. B, you can already get into everyone's phone already. So why aren't we pretending to have this show like you can't, like you want access to it? It just seems like a big, complete, you know, main event. Saturday night.
It's farce.
Go ahead, Claire.
I'm just saying, I mean, it's a total farce. They can get in the phone, obviously. You know, the NSA probably has records of everything that they communicated about anyway. It's just a game. I mean, it's all for show.
There's a giant building in Utah that was built to house all this data.
I believe there's like a website or something, too, that you can go through. If you have an iPhone or something, that'll go through and actually show you the history of every single time that it's hit your location. And you can pretty much follow yourself around for as far back as you want to go. I mean, it's eerie how smart these smartphones are. Somebody was telling me about this the other day, and there was like another person in the room piped up and said, yeah, I've seen that website. So I haven't checked it out yet, but apparently there is some way you can either, I don't know if it's a website that pulls the information off your phone or if you have to go through Apple or if it's an Android thing. I can't remember. But there's some phones where you can actually go back and look at the whole entire history of every single time that you've pinged on the location or whatever.
So they say there's more technology in your phone than went to the moon.
Oh, man. It's crazy.
And I've never gone back and researched that to know.
Yeah, they didn't have Candy Crush on the moon, that's for sure.
No. I don't really have apps like that.
You ain't got no Candy Crush?
No.
I don't either.
I've never even played it.
I got one.
I don't even know what it does.
Some kind of Tetris or something with pets. I can't remember what it is.
I like Tetris.
I do.
I
have to.
I've got to ask a question. Why? Who exactly benefits in this scheme? You know, I'm sure, you know, we're all obviously not the only ones that are calling BS on the NSA or the FBI's ability to get into the phone. But, you know, what exactly does Apple have to benefit from this? Are they just trying to... I'll admit, when I first heard the news, I thought, oh, well, you know...
It's
got to
be PR. It has to be PR. We're not putting... I think what it is the United States government was like, okay, we're going to ask permission. Ha, ha, ha. And that way, if something goes wrong, we can, like, they said we could do this. It's got nothing to do with us. It's Apple's fault. And then so Apple was just supposed to go, yeah, okay, whatever. And they're saying no. And I think they're only saying no because they want to look good in the eyes of the public. Good PR move. Oh, Apple's with the people.
You're talking about those redacted 28 pages that Donald Trump brought up in one of them debates. Yeah, I remember that.
Apple,
there ain't no candy on that van.
Apple's with us.
Yeah.
They're the good guys.
Yeah, it's funny how many times you've mentioned the word Apple the past few minutes. So, yeah, I guess the PR move worked, didn't it?
That's it.
Next story, please. Damn. They got us good on that one, didn't they?
Yeah.
Didn't have to pay us a dime. Here we are broadcasting on our airwaves.
Did you hear about the raid in Somalia by U.S. /, and I quote, advisors?
I believe Chase Madden gets credit for on air as far as calling the next hotbed.
Somalia.
Somalia.
Yeah, he sure did. And that's happening.
Or was it Nigeria? It may have been Nigeria.
It was Nigeria. What? It was Nigeria.
Okay. Okay. I'm just
that's
trying to keep
it. That's what it was. I was just thinking that when you said that, because, it was Nigeria, I assure you.
Okay. All right. But anyway, but yeah, we're moving further into the continent of Africa.
We're on the way there. We'll be there next week. Next month, we'll be there.
Yep.
That's it. But there were more than 10 fighters killed. Of course, the United States, they just said, well, they're just advisors, and they didn't go all the way.
Yeah.
I guess they just had like 1 foot in, and they did the hokey pokey.
And they turned themselves around.
Yeah. Only 10 people died.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
They were just advising.
Yeah, we killed 10 people in our sleep here in the United States government. Judge Scalia.
Every day. Oh.
Out loud. Oh, them Freudians.
You don't believe that, though, do you?
I don't know what I believe. I know they all were hunters that wore witchy robes, looking like the set of the Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, lots of people do that.
That's a, man, no.
Some people are weird.
But that's what I'm saying. Lots of those type of people do that. The whole Skull and Bones, Illuminati, and all that crap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know what I think about it.
And I mean, you know, and I'm sorry. We want to say, you know, use that we toss the term a tinfoil hat around a lot on this show. And a lot of that gets reserved for those type of people. But then suddenly you hear a story like this, and it's all substantiated and true. And it's like, damn, man,
here's
maybe there is something to that
shit.
Here's
the thing for me, and Claire and Kevin jump in on this.
16th century hunters. I mean, what the hell is that?
I mean, it is weird. But see, okay, I don't think, like, I think maybe when you see something like
hello, that, fair lady, I have shot the quail.
Yeah. I mean, it's bizarre. I'm not going to say it's not. But, like, I see something like Bilderberg or something, you know, something that's in a corporate environment. That's how I see they're running the world. Like, I don't think that there's this, you know, and I know people get up to stuff. David Cameron had sex with a pig. I get it. And maybe they are. You know, maybe I'm just like, so what if they are? So what if they're not? They're still doing crap.
Yeah, but pigs' lives matter. So.
Well, I don't even know. We won't go there right now. But, yeah, and Bohemian Grove stuff's weird, too. Yeah, that's, I don't know what these people are up to. What do y'all think? Is it like the Illuminati thing? Do y'all think it's real?
I've got a lot of different thoughts on that. Yeah, I mean, Illuminati,
like Freemasons, stuff like that.
It's too conspiracy.
With in all interest and fairness, I'll discuss that with you later. I'm actually a Mason, and I have a couple of years.
Snap! We have been infiltrated,
man.
Oh yeah, you have, man.
Every
day.
But of course, there's a lot of difference between your regular peon Mason and your people that are higher ups. You know, I think there's definitely a lot of elitist organizations out there. We all know, like you mentioned a minute ago, the Skull and Bones, we know that exists, the CFR. So there's definitely an elitist circle out there, and the Illuminati, so to speak, was an actual group along, you know, several hundred years ago. But that word even then was Latin. So, you know, just being the illuminated, I don't think this day and age is just, there's so many different organizations out there, I think, competing that...
It seems like now it's just become a word for Jay-Z to get clicks on YouTube.
Oh, and and that's what it gets. It gets clicks. And you know, and you're asking, who doesn't want to take over the world this day and age?
Well, I don't.
Oh, come on. I do not. I mean, when I get to be king.
I just want to be left alone. That's it. I just want to be left
alone.
Me too.
Me too. I really don't. I don't think that there is any major, I don't know, group trying to control things, but you know, honestly, it doesn't really matter because things are so messed up anyway. I mean, all it really takes is kind of dropping out of the system and growing your own food and kind of living in your own space and ignoring the rest of the system, and then you win. And that's it, and that's what really matters.
By living as a free human being.
And, you know, here we are talking about all these, you know, supposed secret societies, and we have the United States government that's bearing it. Down on the whole
that's
entire
it.
Planet
that's why
Earth.
I don't get into that whole, yeah, that's well, why I don't get into all exactly. this stuff. It's just like we're seeing, like, it right in front of our
like
face.
Like there's a few guys in some caves, you yeah, know, you trying to... Trying to, you know, have sex with a virgin and do some kind
yeah,
of blood
you don't
sacrifice
have to make up
versus
stories.
The United States government openly just, you know, going in and bombing a country at will just because
right.
they don't like
right.
the banking system or the way that they are politically or who they're at war with or et cetera, so on and so forth. Now, I'm not saying that there is definitely a line at some point in time when you have, you know, one country has decided to just take advantage of a smaller, weaker country. Then yeah, we go in and we defend them, regardless of whether we, you know, whether they're paying us off or this, that, and the other. It's the right thing to do. We defend them. Go ahead and push the aggressors back, and then we take our military equipment and go home. That's it. That's the only reason we should ever be involved in any kind of foreign situation, or any kind of a warfare
for
situation
us to
on,
do
on
that.
Shore.
Do you realize that you would have to totally reconstruct the world because we have built an empire?
Yep,
the whole world would be reconstructed.
Yeah. But maybe
that's a good thing.
Maybe the whole world would like us again.
No, I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it too.
I don't
think there's something to be said still for the deep state that is, you know, the unelected officials that we don't vote for, and the a lot of the big boys club that does exist, whether or not we want to recognize it. So, Claire, I think you're completely right that I think we lose, you know, we're fighting a losing battle if we worry about who all is actually up there fighting and for control. I think we're much better off, like you said, tuning out. And you know, and I definitely wouldn't fault anybody for being out there trying to educate those around us, but I do think it's a tired argument when we debate who exactly is out there fighting for their bit of influence. But I do think that that we kind of you know, we see by talking about the U.S. federal government stomping on you know, the boots of the or the faces of the rest of the world, when, you know, there's something to be said about a deep state connection there between a lot of, like, unaccounted so-called officials and places that we'll never vote for. So I think there's networks out there, and I think the only thing we can do, maybe other than being aware or at least in an attempt to expose them, is to be aware of it. But you know, it's I look forward to voting on the next office and voting those guys out so nobody ever.
Here's a thought, if I may.
Go ahead.
So, does it really matter who's in charge or who's controlling whom or
no,
what governments are interconnected or what deep state is behind what or anything? Because
I don't think
really all their business is oppressing everybody else.
That's
so
it.
So it's really the state as the whole world organization of governments that lord themselves over everyone else. That's really all that matters.
I mean, that's totally the only thing that matters, because... And this is the thing that's so infuriating, when, you know, you get somebody that's like, well, they get in these robes and they have these statues and there's candles and there's dead pigs and they're controlling the world. It's like, okay, they're controlling the world and they're killing people in your mind. Is that what you're saying? And they do this weird stuff. Or then you have wearing suits in some tower, and you know what? The same result of people dying is happening. So... who cares? There's people dying. You know, keep your stories to yourself and realize there is a structure that is much grander than either you or I. And they kill people for their own self-interest, and they're greedy and they're selfish. It reminds me of what we were talking about on Tuesday, Kevin. For those of you who missed it, we had on Robbie Martin, who is a filmmaker and the co-founder of MediaRoots.org. You can check out that interview that's on YouTube right now by searching for Robbie Martin Anti-Media Radio. I highly encourage you to check it out. It was a great interview.
Yeah, it was a really knowledgeable guy, great guy.
But he was talking about conservative establishment has much more influence than we realize. And Bill Kristol and Bob Kagan. And what we were just saying earlier was something that came out of Bob Kagan's mouth. You know, he's like, you know, it doesn't matter which party's there. We do what we want, period. You know,
mm-hmm.
We're in charge. Now, what I don't understand is who are Bill Kristol and Bob Kagan to be telling everybody what to do? They're certainly doing it.
Well, good point. How many people really do look to Bill Kristol to decide what political moves they're going to make next?
Or Bill Kristol for that.
You know, we all know his name, but I think he's probably just another one of these people who are probably trying to compete for their little bit of influence.
Well, he was down in Georgia, you know, the whole everybody's conspiring against Trump thing. He was part of that.
Jekyll Island too, I guess.
Yeah, the only because he runs the Weekly Standard, so yeah, he's the media.
Right. Well, that's what, you know, Musk said the only reason he was there is to talk about what he can do about energy going forward, and he wasn't there supposedly to stop Trump, but I'd be curious to be a fly on the wall, just not to see necessarily what they were talking about in reference to Trump, but I would be a little bit curious, just because I'm a curious person. I find those things kind of interesting. I'd be curious to see what all they discussed about. It seemed like a lot of big money in that meeting, for sure.
A lot of big money.
I tell you, that the debate tonight made me a little believe just a little bit more that maybe he's, you know, actually doing this on his own accord, like he is actually running against the establishment, which still doesn't make him good. But the way they just ran away from him all night, you know, because they didn't go for ratings.
No, there was that. This was definitely one of those you watch for 5 minutes.
Yeah, they refused to.
And Fox is laughing all the way to the bank, I guess, because that's the only reason to watch these anymore.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's nothing. There's no information that I'm going to glean from these conversations.
At no point, and I'm not going to be sitting there watching the debate and be like, "Did you hear that thing Marco Rubio just said?"
Oh my God, that's going to be so incredible when he does that.
I have been all wrong about all this. I am going to vote for that little man.
Yeah.
I mean, who's doing that?
He's a little man with a big heart.
Shut up, little man.
Big hands.
Those are beautiful hands.
Beautiful hands.
Beautiful hands.
Big,
beautiful
firm, hard, meaty, throbbing.
Strong, powerful hands.
But, who's doing that now? Is anyone basing their vote just by sitting there watching and going, "Yep, that's what I'm doing"?
It's become a game show.
I mean, there are like buzzers like a game show. They are brawling it out using words. And I mean, it's not even like good words. It's like they just kind of talk at each other and say things.
I don't know.
I mean, it is just absolutely ridiculous.
But they've been amazing.
Some of them have. Tonight, no, not so much.
Oh, yeah. It was a B call.
God, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but you have to laugh at it. You have to laugh at it. We just need to leave. Just need to leave.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about that a minute ago. Then you had to bring all this other crap up again.
Yeah. Let's just turn the show into Trump preparedness.
Yeah. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. We're just going to.
I was thinking of Puerto Vallarta.
That's a great idea. Oh, yeah. Now we're talking.
TrumpPreparedness.com.
So I think we're all pretty much settled on a tropical paradise, correct?
I think that sounds good to me.
And the island in Scotland, which I don't know.
Yeah, it's
affordable and it's an island, so that means we don't have to let anybody else in.
True.
We can build a Trump wall.
Have you seen that joke, by the way?
I don't know exactly how high it'll be, 45, 50
Scotland
foot.
Trump will probably still be allowed into Ireland. Or does he say Scotland or Ireland?
Scotland.
Yeah, his mother's from Scotland, I believe. So we probably have to, his mother's, one of his family members.
It's not
there.
That then. We'll have to go somewhere
else
then.
I probably had to pick a different one just for fear that he'd...
Wait a minute. You said his mother's from Scotland?
Yeah, his mother, if I'm not mistaken, his mother is, which is what I thought so odd when the when he was bashing Cruz.
Has anybody seen his birth certificate?
Born parent.
That man. That man represents the United States.
He is.
He might as well have McDonald's tattooed on his forehead.
That's right, Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I was surprised tonight. To me, is it me or is he trying his best to look a little more so-called presidential? You know, last week after that,
I am pleased with that.
It was toned down tonight.
Yeah, I sat down tonight looking forward to laughing halfway through and laughing after we did it after the last debate. And I was a little bummed out, man. I had kind of a hard time staying awake. It just, there was not any of the back and forth that I kind of half expected.
That's what's so sad.
That's the only reason to watch it.
You were the
yeah. It really was. It really was. I laughed at myself. Something worth watching.
Five different people since that debate has aired tonight has told me exactly what y'all said. This is boring. I'm having trouble staying awake. So, okay, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Because obviously, there's people tuning in to politics that never pay attention to it to watch the theater of it. But at the same time, is it like, okay, this is what it's become? This is the most entertaining thing on television, is to watch the people running for the United States of America.
Well, they had a good run.
Shout obscenities at each other.
They had a good run. I mean, as far as reality shows go, I mean, you're only going to get like three great episodes out of a season of Survivor. Come on now.
This is Idiocracy. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Yeah, because again, this is just the TV show aspect of it, and that's kind of the whole point of Idiocracy is what happens when TV shows take over America.
People are tuning into it like it's 7:30 on Friday in 1992, and you're watching Urkel. Okay, that's how people are tuning into this.
Why'd you have to bring Urkel into this?
Yeah, and then Boy Meets World right before or after, man.
I love Urkel.
Yeah.
He's out of all of them that I figured would probably make a sex tape, I am still horribly disappointed there's not an Urkel sex tape out there somewhere.
Jaleel White, man. They're probably, yeah, he went with Dancing with the Stars, though.
Is there a Carl Owen?
Carl Winslow. He died not too long ago, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Belle Johnson. Man, he was awesome. I loved him. He was in a lot of cool stuff.
Okay. I don't care. I shouldn't even.
As far as TV dads go, he was all right. Why are you hating, man?
Maybe they should have had Jerry Springer moderate that debate.
They should have. Because
God, that would be amazing. Look, at least he's a politician, former politician.
He was.
Yeah.
Cincinnati. Yeah, he was. He was the mayor of my city.
He most certainly was.
Keep it real, Cincinnati. WKRP.
And probably, arguably, one of the best things that's ever come out of Cincinnati.
Oh, burn.
Name one Bengal that was cooler. I'm not hating on Jerry Springer. I love Jerry Springer. That man's got a lot more money than I do, and he's smart as shit. The hell with all y'all. What's it, y'all? This Trump hate is spreading throughout all of y'all.
But you're talking about a politician who was the mayor who wrote a check for a prostitute.
So?
He was smart, I'm just saying.
You don't give a third of a shit when you write checks.
Keeping up with his expenses.
I mean, you
Everybody
know.
Everybody wants a fiscally conservative person in there, and this guy's keeping track of his money. Sounds
yeah,
like
he's got a receipt, man.
And people got to...
I stand corrected.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a damn, dude. When you're writing checks for prostitutes and you're the mayor, I mean, what other kind of things could you possibly be writing checks for?
Yeah, you figure a mayor of a city as large as Cincinnati, you get some free tail somewhere. You know William Bell's getting free tail.
Oh, right. If he had to pay for it, man, what does the world come to?
Yeah, true. But at the same time, single mother's got to eat.
So, Claire, you were planning on attending the GOP convention in June in Cleveland, Ohio. Do you expect there to be, as some have predicted, violence?
Well, let's consider that they have, you know, ordered, what, 2,000 or 3,000 sets of riot gear for the police. Mm. You know, if you show up for battle, chances are you'll get a battle. Mm.
Do you think it'll be equivalent to 68 Chicago? I mean, do you think this is really going to go crazy?
I honestly
think that either nothing will happen and it will be completely uneventful.
That's kind of what really I think.
Or staring it will be worse.
1,000 fully armed riot gear police officers. Yeah, I guess you might want to stand out.
But look at okay, in a recent Trump rally, for instance, because let's assume that Trump will get it just for the sake of argument, you know, you had a protester who was assaulted, and the person who assaulted him has now come out and said, yeah, if we see him again, we'll kill him. So if you take it in that context, it can't be a good situation.
The whites are terrible. The white people, they're horrible.
Tell me more.
They're horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Continue.
That guy that popped him into, man, I'm going to tell you what, I would have killed that guy if he sucker punched me like that. Yeah, have you seen the video yet? North Carolina rally?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I don't know. I think that there's going to be, I think there's going to be violence like erupt on the floor, kind of. I think it's going to kick off like inside. And I think we're going to witness this in our lifetime. We're going to see a political party break in half and violence erupt on TV.
I kind of tend to think so.
While Donald Trump talks about the size of his manhood.
And Donald won't, he ain't going to run anywhere. He'll stand there right at the podium and bark some orders to some people, and next thing you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah,
I can imagine him sitting up and just yelling and pointing at the crowd, just spewing and just him shaking his fist, giving orders out, his pandemonium.
He was Stone Cold Steve Austin. You think he's worried about some activist people? Come on now. You people are disgusting.
I mean, it's no more fake than what he's doing now. I'm telling you, I completely believe that some of those people he's throwing out are plants. I believe that. That he's to show his strength. Oh, this is how tough I am. Look at me. Get out. You're gone.
Nobody's going to say, have a harsh word to say about President Trump.
You know, the thing with plants, though, is that that whole behavior is contagious. So even if some of those people that he's throwing out are plants, there are others that are not.
The crowd catches the fever. For sure.
I mean, it's just going to, it'll be bad.
That's real, dude. that was live and in living color.
I mean, and it does embody that spirit. There is a, again, I don't believe that Donald Trump is racist, but he definitely galvanizes this sort of, atmosphere of hate.
He's racist.
I don't think he is. I think he's saying what he has to say to get elected.
So you're telling me it's almost like the reverse of what a racist does. Instead of him being racist behind closed doors, he's just racist out in public, just in his private life.
I do believe that.
Shit.
I do believe that.
You know, he speaks with the lowest common denominator. He casts the widest net. And that just happens to appeal to amongst some groups of people, including a lot of white nationalists. And I think that's probably...
How is that still a thing? How do these people exist? Like, that's the thing that's so amazing to me. Like, they come out of the woodwork when something like this goes on. It's like, David Duke's still around?
Well, you know...
Like, people still believe that stuff? Really?
Yeah, but when you say that, though, the first thing that comes to my mind, the very first thing that comes to my mind, is that your face will stick like that. Meaning that, okay, he's not a racist in his private life or this, that, and the other, but he has to play one in front of the TV to the lowest common denominator. Don't you think after you play that part long enough, you eventually become that person? We're talking about racism. We're talking about coloring your hair a certain color.
Listen, it doesn't
matter. Take it till you make it in the opposite direction.
It doesn't matter if Donald Trump's racist or not. It's irrelevant, because what does matter is that there are people collecting behind him that obviously are and are obviously seems frustrated that they've had to keep their racism all bungled up inside for so long. And now they get to go outside for the first time in years. That's kind of how I'm looking at it. And it's amazing to me. It's like, you people.
Maybe they'll get their Confederate flags back.
And I think Trump's going after those people on purpose.
Mm.
He knows that group, but he knows that they're angry.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the strangest group to try to corral.
No, it's not.
No, man.
You get 20,000 of them every single week at a Monday Night Raw event.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
He didn't get 20,000 here.
No, he did not, despite what he said.
I was admittedly a little surprised that Donald Trump came out and opposed the flying the Confederate flag. on the various public capital fields or grounds. So I was a little surprised about that. You know, and believe it or not, I'm sure that probably would not deter many of his detractors or his supporters out there. Those even that are flying that Confederate flag so high and proudly from the back of their trucks. You know, I don't think if you even brought that up to them and that fact to them, I don't think that would probably make a difference in their support one way or the other. I think it's probably given a lot of people an identity who probably didn't have anything else to do.
No, man, I fly this flag
with their life,
man.
Right,
people say that too.
Yeah, all the time.
But yeah, I think you could literally tell somebody these policies are Hillary Clinton's. Read them off, and they'd go, "Oh, I don't like that person. That's the worst candidate I've ever heard." And then tell them it's Donald Trump. Oh no, never mind. I like Trump.
Now, Trump's, he's saying things that people want to hear.
Okay, there was something on one of those talk shows. I don't watch them, but it was a clip on YouTube that I saw of reading Hitler quotes to people on the street, Trump supporter. Maybe you saw this, Claire.
I did.
And this, was it a lady or was it a guy at the end that was, they told him, you know, the he's like, oh, that quote's great. And they're like, oh, it's a Hitler quote, not a Trump quote. And they're like, oh, okay. So did Trump say it?
Yeah.
And then,
didn't say it in private.
Well, then forget the historical record then. To hell with it.
It's a microphone available.
Okay. And then there was like, well, Trump said it. I must agree with it. If Hitler said it, I don't agree with it. But if Trump said it, I agree. I'm like, that's brainwashed before. They don't listen to what the man said. Just, did Trump say it?
Oh, well. No, it was kind of like, you know, it doesn't matter if Hitler said it or not. As long as Trump parroted it, it's fine with me.
Right, yeah, that completely rewrites the. I saw, how many times did I see that Mussolini quote shared about the, you know?
Right.
And the sad thing is, I pointed it out to a couple of friends, and they were like, well, it's still true. I'm like, yeah, it sounds real good, but it's still a dictator's quote, dude.
For those who don't know, what is the quote, Kevin?
Oh, about the, it's better to live 100 days as a, I forget the quote now, about the sheep and the lion. Better to live 100 days as a sheep or a lion than 100 days as a sheep or something. I forget what it was. So I'll have to Google it now in a minute. But
Mussolini 2016.
Sir.
Mussolini 2016.
Hey.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, but Trump apparently tweeted this after somebody else tweeted it at Trump. El Duce or Lil Duce something was tweeted it on Twitter. And then,
it's better to live a day as a lion than 100 years as a sheep.
There you go. That was it. I was somewhere, but not anywhere close.
That guy beat out a picture of him and Adolf Hitler shaking hands, and it wouldn't faze anybody.
No, it would not.
They'd be like, well, that's pretty neat. They met.
Right.
No way we care. I, you know, it's scary that somebody has that much control over the population. Where you can read a Hitler quote. So if Hitler didn't say that, wait, it was Trump. Oh, man, that's a great quote. That's awesome.
I need to read more about this Hitler fella.
No, but they were like, if Hitler said it, it's bad. You just got to tell me who said it.
No, they glanced over at the camera for a minute and was like,
faces.
That's Hitler. Yeah, Hitler's
yeah, I don't need to know, but that's it.
They were confused. They didn't know what to do. They were kind of like, well, I know that I probably shouldn't like that Hitler said it, but as long as Trump said it too, it must be okay. But you can see it going on their face.
But what I don't understand is, why can nobody just listen to the quote and go, I either agree with said quote or disagree with the quote, not I'm going to judge what I believe based on who said it, because I support that person, because I want all the people that support that person to like me, because I'm insecure.
Right.
Hooray, I'm on camera. It's whatever I need to say. So did Hitler say? Tell me what to believe.
You, with a camera, you know what's going on. Help me here.
It's what a sad commentary.
Well, it's all, everything's based on emotion, and that's it. Everybody's making all these decisions based on pure emotion, and Trump has 100% tapped into that.
And those are some dangerous emotions, I might add.
There's a book about that, about the political atmosphere and climate. It's called The Political Brain, I believe, and it's all about the emotional and reactionary responses we have to politics and everything like that, and how politicians take advantage of that. And, I mean, he... Textbook.
Oh, and I think they use it in all different aspects. I mean, there's a reason they get people cheering for war and for death.
And saluting like Hitler, you know, like, yes, we will increase the police state, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, think about how many people are supporting Trump and the stuff he said about surveillance state and the stuff he said about Apple and the stuff he said about Snowden. And there's people that are like hardcore think Snowden's a hero and still like Trump. Like, that don't even make sense.
Nope.
Is he just brainwashing people through the television? Are people getting suckered in? Have you accepted Donald Trump into your heart yet, Kevin?
Yeah, I've gotten really close, man. But, you know, in their defense, I don't think most people are... looking forward to Donald Trump for his opinions on Snowden. But then again, how many Americans really, you know, that are looking up to Snowden as the be-all end-all to America's problems actually are aware of the situation and what exactly Snowden went to, and even the whole issue surrounding that. So I'm not surprised that a whole lot of people who might go, yay, Snowden, would, you know, dismiss the fact that Donald Trump wants and thinks he should be... put in prison. So
okay, so let me ask you this, Kevin. So and I agree with you. I think people are ignoring and overlooking his opinions on Snowden, but what are they going to him on? What is he saying that is resonating with people?
Oh, well, I think they'll go against you know, I think there's a whole lot of stuff, and you know, and it doesn't even make sense. You know, I hate to even try to qualify any of it, because a lot of it is not, you know, they'll ignore a lot of different things that you wouldn't think. That, you know, you might want to give them a pass. Hey, they don't know about this. Or
they're
maybe
picking and choosing what they believe, because when it's something they don't agree with, it turns into, oh, that's just campaign rhetoric. He's just saying that to get elected. He don't really believe that.
It is, but, you know, it's like you said, you guys brought up a minute ago. It's if, you know, you can read a statement that somebody supposedly says, and people disagree, but find out that Trump said it, and all of a sudden they're on board. So, you know, I think a little bit, most of it, I think, is just a cult of personality. And whatever at this point, what Donald says is what people are going to go after. I think the people have been either beaten down so much that they're still willing to put their hope into another man, you know, and they didn't get it from Obama.
We saw the same thing with Obama. We saw the exact same thing with Obama.
And I think people were let down because they were either sold a bag of goods that wasn't delivered on, or that for this past few years that they weren't in a big Obama supporter. Maybe they've been taught that, well, at least now I can see there's somebody I can believe in. And a lot of people, I think, have felt like they've got to, you know, a lot of people only feel like they've either got to go one way or the other. A lot of people just don't realize that they don't have to stay within the confines of a left-right paradigm. So now it's time for everybody to go and vote for candidate instead of the Democrat candidate.
The thing that's so scary to me about Trump is when you make that argument with somebody, they say, well, he's not really a Republican. You know, he hasn't been doing this. He's just brand new. He can't be corrupted. He has money. And they just make all these excuses. I know Obama lied to us. They all lied to us, but he's saying they lied to us. So they just follow blindly behind him. That's all they hear. He's saying they lie to us.
Oh, yeah, and they do it. And you know, and like I said, you know, even Roger Stone brought up one point, the fact that he had a large group of people, and that no matter what information that he brought up, he repeatedly showed them video of Trump saying the exact opposite, that he had been of a position he had held so staunchly before war, and it absolutely did not matter that people refused to go against him, even in the face of seeing him lied to him. You know, if that's not Munchausen syndrome, or, you know, not Munchausen syndrome, but the term escapes me now, but, you know, people want to be abused. Yeah, they're going right along, and they're seeing what's happening, you would think, and they're going to go right along with it. And as long as Donald Trump is the one dishing out the abuse, I think they'll always make an excuse for him.
I think this is why politics is a lot, and statism and nationalism and patriotism and all these other things. This is why this is a lot like, you know, blind religious following. I mean, this is like you pick somebody and you follow them no matter what. And that is what is more dangerous, I think, than anything else.
I think there are people more attached, sadly, to politics. I think politics has become so intertwined with religion, which is so scary. But yeah, especially exactly. When you live in the South, you see that. And then they have all these crazy, crazy, crazy beliefs and of just, okay, you're a Christian, you believe in God, so you believe in peace. That's right, yes. So what do you think we should do about the Middle East? Oh, we got to kill them brown people right now.
Bomb them.
Bomb them. They want to hurt us. They won't hurt us. Float. It's scary.
Never mind how many fellow Christians, how many of their fellow Christians are at the Middle East.
We need to stop with them.
They want to hurt
and get their families. Hey,
if innocent people get killed, that's just sad. They had a relative that was trying to hurt us.
Well, you know,
but people don't get killed because our bombs are so smart. They only kill the terrorists.
Only kill the bad.
Right. Well, and if they got killed, they're guilty by association, right? Isn't that the name of the game now?
Yeah. Look, that's war. That's war. That's just how it works. They attacked us. And that's the thing. You better not have no abortion. You can kill them babies.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so the baby was... happens to be in Gaza. How do you feel now? Well, they shouldn't be shooting them rockets. They shouldn't be shooting them rockets. I mean, it's disgusting to me how people defend death constantly. They just arrange things in their head however they want. Oh, Trump's not going to do that. Oh, it's okay when that person got killed.
Yeah, death is a foreign concept to a lot of these people.
Fear is the only concept these people know. Fear is the only emotion these people know, and everything is filtered through the fear. Everything is running through that. They're voting for Donald Trump because of fear. That's all it is. It's the fear candidate.
I agree.
This is the monster that Fox News has created. This is the monster that the Republican Party has created. Mixed with a little bit of the Kardashians and Ryan Seacrest. I'm sure this is a Ryan Seacrest production. That we're witnessing.
And Jim McMahon.
Who's Jim McMahon? The quarterback of the LA Rams?
Yeah.
Is that who he's playing for?
Oh, I meant Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon? You're fired. His name's still.
we give Vince enough screen time here as it is.
Go. I'm putting the microphone back. I'm disgusted by that.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much for joining us here at the Anti-Media. My name is Shannon Madden. I'm joined by our host, S.M. Gibson. Ms. Claire Burness, do you have any parting words for this evening?
No, I'm speechless.
You're not mad at me about the McMahon thing, too, are you?
I'm speechless.
Kevin, where are we headed, man?
Man, we're heading to hell. Quickly, man. I'll see you guys when we get there.
Oh, well, is it in Scotland? Is that what we're going to call it?
Hey, man, it's if we are, four tires.
Who's going to do this train spotting too? Can we talk about real things now?
In hell, you are.
Oh, is that coming real? Hey, Boondock Saints 3's being filmed.
I'm trying to talk about train spotting too, and you're trying to.
And I'm talking about paying our prostitutes in cash.
I don't care.
No checks for the prostitutes.
All right, that's it for us tonight. We will be back next Tuesday for Shannon, for Claire, for Kevin, and for me, S.F. Gibson. You can listen to Anti-Media Radio.
Hello.
Out.
Free Jerry Springer. I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.